This is the podcast for April 1st, 2011. It's totally safe for work. Hell, your sainted maiden aunt who still loves Nixon could listen to it.
Recorded live from high atop the New York Times multi-million dollar paywall, it's the Professional Left with Drift Glass and Blue Gal.
Top the New York Times multi-million dollar paywall.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Nobody noticed.
And of course, we're kidding about the totally safe for work.
No, we're not.
Part. April Fool.
Well, we're going to stick in the April Fools at the end, I hope. You got to listen all the way to the end. Okay. It was all a joke. It was all a dream. It was all a dream. Well, what's on the chopping block this week there, Blue Gal?
Well, apparently we're in the middle of a squirmish.
Yeah.
We can't sit still because Sarah Palin says it might be a squirmish.
We don't want to be caught in the middle of a squirmish, no.
Well, back in the 60s, she wore a mini squirt.
She did.
Oh. She gives me a headache. I'm done.
Yeah. I can't. I know there's sort of an obligatory stop by for Sarah Palin, but yeah. I tell you, I mean this pretty seriously. I have developed an almost allergic reaction to conservative anything.
Yeah.
I'm just done with them.
But particularly someone who is so not to be taken seriously as that. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, everybody, thank you for your votes.
Yes.
We have a winner. We have a winner. We
Blue
won.
Gal's a winner. Blue Gal's a winner.
Well, we won the Netroots Nation scholarship. So we will be using that to defray our costs and going to Netroots Nation. If you're going to Netroots Nation this year, shoot us an email.
Yeah.
We're at proleftpodcast@gmail.com. Shoot us an email and let us know. Hey, I listened to the podcast and I'll be there. And we'll see how many people there are and what we can do to get together for
stuff.
Some sort of meetup. We'd love to do that.
This will help defray some of the costs, but the bulk of it will still be coming out of our pockets. So we're going to be doing a fundraiser for Netroots Nations probably.
Yeah.
Oh, at some point in the future. And speaking of fundraisers.
Yeah. Happy blog-iversary, Drift Glass.
Thank you, Blue Gal.
Yeah. 6 years this year.
6 years.
March 31st.
Yeah, March 31st or April 1st, depending on how crappy you might count those first crappy posts to be. But yeah, it's 6 years, about 3,200 posts.
Wow.
A whole bunch of graphics, and of course, my favorite, this wonderful podcast.
Well, and just so everyone knows, what this scholarship covers is one all-access pass to Netroots Nation for me, and hotel room for one. I don't know quite how they're going to work that out. Because you won't let me room with anyone else.
No.
And then a couple meals. They'll have a couple lunches or something that we're invited to or I'm invited to or something.
And I'll be giving you a bunch of Ziploc bags so you can smuggle back.
Smuggle food back to you in the room.
Mashed potatoes and center.
Here you go.
Yeah.
I brought you that little plastic cup of mousse.
You're yeah.
Cool Whip and chocolate pudding mixed together in a little.
Does anybody
swirl.
Want you just shove those in your purse and bring them back to the room, Blue Gal? We'll do something with them.
All right. So it doesn't cover transportation. And actually, the way we're working it out this year is we're driving the kids to Minneapolis and handing them over to their dad, and he gets them for a while, and then we'll go to Netroots Nation kid free most of it and. Drive back.
It's a long drive.
Together. It's a long drive. From
it's a long drive.
Southern Illinois it is, yeah. We'll see what happens, whether you're still in Chicago or how that works out. But it'll work out. And so what we need is we'll need funding for transportation and meals and probably part of the hotel, I would imagine.
And that big map with the little van on it that rocks back and forth as it moves down the road in a jolly kind of way with a webcam that lets everyone know we're on our way. We're halfway there. Because I think those are cool. We'll need dough for that, I'm afraid. Thank you for your votes.
Thank you for your – and I did want to say, too, Drift Glass, on the topic of fundraising, I've noticed a little lift in the – overall economy, I think, and maybe I'm extrapolating too much, but there has been a modest increase in the number of first-time $5 contributors to the
podcast. Well, that's wonderful. That is delightful.
Huge. I think that's huge because It's like when I went to water aerobics this morning at the YMCA, which I get to do for free. I had not been to water aerobics since December because I refuse to go to the gym in January when the parking lot is just overflowing with, you know, New Year's resolution people, and it's really hard to get a parking space. So I sort of just skipped then. And then I didn't go back, and, you know, now it's almost April 1st, and I just didn't go back. And so today I went, and it is the hardest thing in the world to, you know, gather up that swimsuit and towel and go to the gym and drag yourself to the gym and work out. And
it is.
It's the biggest leap just to go that first time and get it done. And I think there's that same huge leap between I can't possibly do this, someone else will have to do it because I'm in such financial straits, and leaping to, yeah, I can give $5 to this podcast because it means something to me. Yeah. That's the biggest leap of all. And we do have some contributors who give slightly more than that, and we're very grateful to them too. Mm-hmm. But those people who took the leap this week and said, you know, yeah, I can give $5. We really appreciate that. We know that that's a leap. And thank you very much for taking that leap and giving us that vote of confidence. We really appreciate it. I have something I want to say about Libya, their class.
Yeah.
There are no knowns. There are things we know that we know.
Mm-hmm.
There are known unknowns. That is to say, there are things that we know we don't know. But there are also unknown unknowns. There are things we don't know we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Was it St. Augustine? Was it Larry Storch who said, there are unknown unknowns? I think it was Thomas Aquinas.
Thomas Aquinas who said, there are unknown unknowns.
Yeah. No, that was the...
No, I'm just...
Yeah.
And I thought of that today when I was thinking, I don't really want to say anything about Libya because I don't know. But then I said, wait, there are no knowns.
That's right.
And what are the known knowns? The known knowns are... As far as I'm concerned, the known knowns are. Commenters can't be taken seriously if they say, A, it's horrible that Barack Obama went and just bombed Libya and has gotten us involved in this horrible thing, and B, he's a pussy for letting France take over.
Yeah, sorry.
You know, sorry, you're not taken seriously anymore.
Well,
if that's your contribution to the debate. And of course, that's, that's Fox News. So beyond that, I say a prayer for the Libyan people, and I think I like the caution that's being expressed here.
Yes.
And if it's a political failure, this is the other thing I wanted to say. This is the political failure of the White House.
Mm-hmm.
When Sarah Palin made her squirmish comment, she was talking to Greta Van Susteren, who apparently is the only person who can stomach Sarah Palin because Bill O'Reilly's thrown up his hands on the air and said she's not professional. So she's not going to be on there anymore. And, you know, so Greta's the one who gets to have the coffee clutch now with Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
And Greta said, you know, before the squirmish question or after the squirmish comment, said something to the effect of, you know, the thing that I take away from Obama's speech on Libya is that it was so nuanced.
Yes.
And if your role in a war is nuanced, then you're not really making a strong claim for it, one way or the other.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, that is, those are the polls, and I mean P-O-L-E-S, in the polarization between Fox News and this White House.
Yeah.
Is between simple, declarative, false statements and all of this intellectual nuance.
Yeah.
That is to the point of being faulted for that. You know, the messaging is so off from this White House.
Well,
they deal in complexity.
Well, you and I will have to respectfully disagree, of course, as we often do. First of all, I think Bill O'Reilly will make up with Sarah Palin on a very special episode of O'Reilly.
Okay.
Because
I'll be holding my breath for that.
It's all professional wrestling. It's not hard work.
Yeah,
it's all scripted. It's all a fucking act. It's a puppet show. It's a puppet show for stupid people who want, oh, look, they're back together. Bill O'Reilly and your kiss and makeup. That would be great ratings, won't it?
Well, and that's what war is now, too. War is that. You know, it's got to be resolved in X amount of days with a victory for our side, and then we'll continue to be at war with East Asia, you know?
Right. And, well, that's the other thing. The second thing I would respectfully disagree with is the most powerful verbal, factual, causal bunker buster in the world, if it were dropped on Fox News, I mean metaphorically, would not crack the you know, the titanium shell around them, the Durasteel, the plasteel, the diamond shell around them that will naysay anything Barack Obama does.
Yep.
It literally does not matter what position he holds on any given day. They will simply say, insert, you know, what happened today, and it's wrong because of nuance or France or too soon or too late or too early. The left is full of critiques of Barack Obama, and you and I critique him when we feel he deserves it, which is fairly often over big things and small. But we also, I think, try to support him or at least come to a conclusion that this might be a rational course or was not arrived at through duplicitous means when that's true. However, there simply isn't anything anyone could ever say that would make Sarah Palin say Barack Obama did a good job on this. Doesn't matter what it is. Whatever comes out of Sarah Palin's mouth is poison. And the idea that we're still jaw-dropping ourselves going, oh, my God, can you believe what she said today?
Yeah.
Of course I can believe what she said. Like we said in our pregame, you know, there is a long, long, long road, you know, 50-mile dirt road. And every foot of that road has a line drawn in it. Mm-hmm. And those lines represent at each point along the route when the mainstream media and the center of the Democratic Party has said, and if they cross this line, that will be too much.
Yep.
Well, they've walked down that road, and we keep saying, but if she does this, then surely people will be outraged. Folks, there are no people out there anymore.
Yeah.
There are no undecided voters for us to sort of do our little kabuki dance to try to lure into this. There's them and there's us. And there's a handful of stupid people in the middle.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about Donald Trump's foray into birtherism, because Chuck Todd and his crew yesterday taking Tweety's place were shaking their heads and going, why is he doing this? Why is he doing this? This is a dead end. You know, he's never going to get anywhere. I'm sitting there thinking, wait a minute, Chuck Todd, you're the one who always says that the polls say that 55% of Republican voters believe this.
Right. I can think of
obvious why he's doing it.
I can think of 100 million reasons why he's doing it.
Yeah.
And they have dead presidents
on them.
He's being
thanked. He's being thanked on Twitter. You know, I got kicked off of Sarah Palin's Facebook page because I asked the question about Barack Obama's birth. Mm-hmm. And so thank you so much, Donald Trump, for bringing up the question. What question? Mm-hmm. You know, but this is, you know, it's a conspiracy is what it is. You know,
P.T. Barnum, you know, there's a conservative voter born every minute and two to take him, as the saying goes.
Yep.
And Donald Trump is a con man, a big, loud, egotistical, despicable.
Have worked to make him a multi-millionaire at least.
Yeah.
Part of the big con with Donald Trump, by the way, is how rich is he?
Yeah.
And he continually lies about how rich he is to be the richest man. And I'm so rich. And always gets ticked off if he's kicked off of the Forbes list of the top 10 richest Americans. You know, he wants to be up there because it's a game. You know, it's a promo game.
He is a creature of pure capitalism.
Yeah. And I'm the richest guy. That's my shtick.
And his very sensitive nose has detected a vast, relatively untapped pool of morons in the conservative movement.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I will go over here and put on, I will rub shit in my hair and hold up a birther sign, and you will give me money or give me attention or you give me ratings or whatever it is. You know, you'll give me stuff of value in exchange for which I will do what every other person on Fox News does, which is reflect your bigotry back to you in a suit. with a credible name under it.
Yep.
Because that's all that Republicans want. They want their bigotry and their hatred and their stupidity validated by someone who looks like a grown-up. Mm-hmm. And that's the entire scam. Yep. And we have to – I think we have to accept the fact that if you are still – you know, this is the test people were asking. I was being asked the other day about, you know, what's the test you have? I said, it's simple. Look at the calendar. If it's the 21st century and you're still a conservative, you're a dead loss. I mean, I might like you other ways. I might like to have dinner with you. There's people in my family who I adore who are conservatives. But politically, there's no point in communicating with you anymore because we've become two separate and competing species mm-hmm. in the political ecosystem. And one of us is going to win. And I'm sick and tired of liberals pretending this isn't a fucking street fight because it is. And pretending that if we just act a little more reasonable. And the converse of that is every time Sarah Palin twitches her eye or Greta Van Susteren sneers at somebody or Sean Hannity does something else incredibly stupid or Newt Gingrich lies for the 50 millionth time, mm-hmm. the same people on the left go, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Can you believe? Like, get over it, man.
Yep.
You know? Yes, I can believe it. And the future of liberal activism is answering the question, and then what?
Yep. You're listening to the Professional Left Podcast, professionalleft.blogspot.com. This has been really the most absurd week since we started podcasting.
I think absurd is just the right word. It certainly hasn't been the most tragic or the most, you know, exhilarating, but it has been completely absurd.
Who do you want to start with? You want to start with Eric Cantor or do you want to start with – well, you want to start with uterus, don't you?
Well, yeah. Because it all begins with the big U.
It's
baby.
Up to uterus.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there is no I in uterus, baby.
There is no I in uterus, so that means that the Republican Party isn't interested. It's a problem. Put up their fingers in a little cross sign. No, we don't want that. We don't want that. Well – background, because some people may be under a rock and not have heard the news, that the Florida State House actually has a Democrat in it named Scott Randolph, not Randolph Scott.
Randolph Scott!
You'll never forget his name. Here, I've come to save the day. Yes. Scott Randolph, Democrat of Orlando, used his time during floor debate to argue, I'm reading this from the St. Petersburg Times website, used his time during floor debate to argue that Republicans are against regulation except when it comes to the little guys or serves their specific interests. At one point, Randolph suggested that his wife, quote, incorporate her uterus, unquote, to stop Republicans from pushing measures that would restrict abortions. Republicans, after all, wouldn't want to further regulate a Florida business.
That's
a good way to discuss your wife's
business.
Your wife's reproductive organs. Yeah.
Now is that a small business loan to take out there? Anyway, we're going to do this all night.
Oh yeah, it writes itself. Let me tell you. Mm-hmm. But apparently, the GOP leadership of the House didn't like the one-liner. They told Democrats that Randolph is not to discuss. And here's the money shot. Uh-huh. No pun intended. Uh-huh. Not to discuss body parts on the House floor.
This is Florida after all.
Can you discuss the uvula? My uvula is – I have a little tickle up here in my uvula. Can I talk about that? Uh-huh. You remember that whole Saturday Night Live skit on uvula hell?
I do.
Yeah. Why can't we discuss that? The point was, Randolph said Thursday, the point was that Republicans are always talking about deregulation and big government, and I always say their philosophy is small government for the big guy and big government for the little guy. That is perfect, actually. That's a bumper sticker right there. Yeah. And so, if my wife's uterus was incorporated or my friend's bedroom was incorporated, maybe they, Republicans, would talk about deregulating it. Yeah. I think.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
And then he said, it's not like I used slang.
And then we were off to the races.
So there's a hashtag on Twitter, of course.
Yes, there is.
GOP names for uterus. My favorite is Can't Touch This.
Yeah. My immediate thought was Thunderdome, but two gametes enter, one baby leaves. Yeah. But we were riffing on, you know, since it was Florida, what about Epcot?
Epcot Center.
The experimental prototype C word of tomorrow. Or SeaWorld.
SeaWorld.
don't mind. Yeah, or Busch Gardens, you know. That's what we've arrived at.
We've arrived at this level of absurdity. I love the other ones I saw on Twitter that were funny were GOP names for uterus, a jobs bill. That's the other thing you can't say on a Republican legislative floor.
You're not allowed to say jobs bill or industrial policy.
Yeah.
It sounds all communist-y, and we all own the tractor, comrade. So you're not allowed to say things like that. But yeah.
So that was Lisana said that one, and then BD from SD2 said Wasilla.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Well, mine was, and this is, you know, very inside Python, but GOP names for uterus. Eki, 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 patang, zu, boing, zao, zing.
Look it up, people.
Look it up. But what I like about this, and taking it to the other issue, which is Eric Cantor.
Fucking Eric Cantor revitalizes my soul.
Who caused a Democrat in the House to introduce the lyrics of I'm Just a Bill into the congressional record.
Yeah.
Because he's announced that, you know, if the Senate doesn't act to prevent a government shutdown, then this bill that we've decided we want, H.R. 1, which is like the bill with all the riders in it on NPR and Planned Parenthood and cutting everything and, you know, the horrible, horrible bill, is law.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't do anything, we're just going to do it.
Yeah, which, you know.
And didn't they just read the Constitution on the floor of the House like two months ago?
Well, I think it's Family Guy, like a Boston area book report, you know.
Yeah.
They crammed for it the night before so they could get it all through, but they didn't really study it.
Or as you know, I had a friend in college who completed all his coursework, and I said, how did you get all that done? And he said, ZCR, zero comprehension reading.
Yeah.
I think that when they read the Constitution on the floor of the House, you know, they were just in a dorm room. They thought they were in a dorm room just rushing through, you know, just to be able to say they read it, but had no comprehension of anything except they left out the slavery part because that was just inconvenient. Yeah.
Well,
but
the last time I saw, you know, the last time I remember, well, actually, I believe you can see an example of this kind of arrogance come Easter when my favorite movie will be on once again, as it is every year.
Ben-Hur?
Which is the Ten Commandments.
Oh, Ten Commandments, that's right.
Moses, Moses, Moses. and Yul Brynner's third most famous line from that movie, so let it be written, so let it be done.
Yeah, and you did a great Photoshop of Eric Cantor as as Yul Brynner, as Pharaoh. You know, so let it be written, so let it be done, yes.
As Dumsees the Second. And I kept waiting for the correction. I kept waiting for
I didn't really mean it this way. Yeah. Yeah.
Or someone behind him to just to blanch.
Really expected that Boehner, who was standing behind him when he said that, would go a whiter shade of pale.
Yeah.
Even Boehner would do that. But
but no.
No. They just rolled right along. And really, you know, you kind of wish Lawrence O'Donnell wouldn't sugarcoat it because he.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the other thing about this week. It really is the week that, in a sense, Lawrence O'Donnell has come into his own media home.
Yep.
You know, it took Wisconsin to make Ed Schultz into a must-view person for me.
Yeah.
You know, his presentation is not particularly my cup of tea. I'm very glad he's a progressive. But his issue finally lined up with his style.
Yep, yep.
And he really came into his own. And this week, Lawrence O'Donnell has just been kicking ass.
Yep.
He took and the reason he can do this is sort of this is why you put people who know what the hell they're talking about on the air. Lawrence O'Donnell worked in the Senate.
Well, and that is the thing, and Eric Cantor insulted the Senate.
Right.
Right. And that's why it's really sad. I mean, I think he really should have retired a long, long time ago, but it's really sad that the West Virginia Senator
Byrd
is gone. Because he would have had a thing or two to say about this, even at 90, at 90 whatever he was.
134.
Yeah. So, you know, not to speak ill of the dead, but, you know.
Well, Robert Byrd had a lovely arc to his life because he was a Klansman.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because that's a conservative's favorite. Well, yeah, you know, what about Robert Byrd?
Yeah.
He's a Democrat. He's a Klansman. Yeah, he was a Klansman when he was, you know, 22.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and then
a century
he got,
and a half
he got
later.
His healing. Yes. You know, where's yours? Now, where's yours?
His life moved in the right direction.
Yeah. What happened to your life? Yeah. Yeah.
You move towards the crazy. You embrace the crazy. And, but Lawrence O'Donnell's understanding, you know, his willingness to sort of dig down into when Rand Paul got all righteous about, you know, how dare this president go to war without consulting like the consent of Congress, for God's sakes. I think there's a lot of merit to that. I don't disagree with the sentiment. But it was O'Donnell and only Lawrence O'Donnell who went back and looked and saw that a regime change, no-fly zone, take the son of a bitch down resolution had been passed by the Senate as a unanimous consent resolution,
mm-hmm.
and agreed to by Rand Paul.
Yep.
So Rand Paul had already signed off on this. He'd already heard the argument, and that, and O'Donnell could say the rules of the Senate are, you know, any senator, you know, a unanimous consent means you can approve something, you know, from your BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm.
But if you disagree with it on principle, as Rand Paul now claims he does, all you have to do is say, no, I don't want to do that. And then you could force it to debate, and you could talk about it forever, because the Senate, you can talk about anything forever. But it took someone who understood how shit works to sort of surface this and say, no, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Rand Paul could have forced this argument 6 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to. He wanted to vote for it. And now that nobody remembers this stuff, now it's down the memory hole, he's going to stand up on his hind legs and get all righteous about it. Again, I'm not sure I disagree with him on the substance of
right.
you should put this into Congress. I would love to live in a country where we had a rational Congress.
Right.
But if this week proved anything, it's we don't.
Honestly.
We have crazy fuckers.
Yep.
And this is where it was always going to end.
Yeah.
It's where, you know, liberals.
The emperor has no clothes all of a sudden.
Liberals have been warning that this day of reckoning, yeah. you're going to have to, the devil's going to come for his due.
Yeah.
You keep feeding these crazy fuckers raw meat. Mm-hmm. And telling them that whatever bizarre, you know, voices in their head conspiracy theory about liberals is really true.
And or that, you know, the reason really Social Security is in trouble is because of abortion.
Yes.
Because we don't have enough workers. This was Santorum. Santorum, we don't have enough workers supporting the seniors who are retiring because of abortion.
Yeah.
And John Stewart said, so why didn't we abort the boomers in the first place?
Well, this was an argument first floated, if I remember correctly, by Tom DeLay. You know, this idea that abortion has caused, you know, this demographic ripple that has, you know, bad consequences. I'll have to look it up and double check, but I believe Tom DeLay was, you know, one of the founding fathers of this stupid idea.
Wow.
But it really is Mad Libs. It is.
Well, and I think that was at that time, I think, that Christopher Buckley wrote Boomsday, which was about convincing seniors to commit suicide, because that was euthanasia for seniors so that it would rebalance itself out. And it's taking it to that absurd level of, you know, oh, there's an imbalance in the generations, and so we have to.
Well, and we're not going to call it suicide. We'll call it honorable Santoricum.
Yeah, yeah.
Where
yeah.
you take your own life.
Yes. I wonder if Rick Santorum could change the Google definition of Santorum from, you know, what it is now
to
budgetarily convenient euthanasia for seniors.
Yeah. That's
if he would
phrase,
take
I,
that, if he would take that bet.
Yeah. Well, these are your choices, Ricky.
These are your choices, Ricky.
Yeah. And I mean, when Newt Gingrich can talk about, you know, the socialist, secular, Islamic, atheist.
That his grandchildren are going to grow up in. Yeah.
You know, and it really is at some point there is a bag of words that they have, you know, gay and socialist and Kenyan, and they just pull them out at random and throw them against the wall and read whatever the fuck it says.
Yep.
And it's gibberish. It doesn't make any sort of rational sense except to the crazy people who – and this is a little reminder, not to our readers or not to our listeners who are very smart people and know this already, but it has really sort of gotten me into a rash this last week, because John Boehner feels the pitchfork at his back because of the Tea Party.
Yeah.
The Tea Party this and the Tea Party that, and those Tea Partiers, and they're a force to be reckoned with. I'm like, guys, and this is everybody from Howard Kurtz to Andrew Sullivan. and everybody in between. Mm-hmm. Repeat after me. There is no such thing as the fucking Tea Party.
No, it's the Republican base.
It's the Republican base in funny hats.
Yep.
The reason that there's a Tea Party is because the Koch brothers paid for buses and for little hats and for T-shirts, and because it's a convenient lie.
A convenient lie to forget Bush. Yeah.
To forget Bush on the part of both the Republican base who backed him to the hilt and the media who pretty much de facto backed him to the hilt.
Yep.
We want to pretend that all never happened. So we're going to let the entire Republican base completely reinvent itself.
Right.
Wipe the whole past away.
And you know what? You know what, Driftglass? You know what, Driftglass? That was also good news for John McCain.
It always is.
It really was.
It really was.
You know, it turned everything around, and he could then sell his soul and get reelected and not be an abject failure for picking Sarah Palin, because all of a sudden he has Tea Party rage in his belly.
And it is simply taking the sort of the subtext of the GOP, which has always been, you know, appeal to this angry, often racist, ignorant, xenophobic, homophobic base. It's taking the subtext, making it the text.
Yep.
And suddenly, they're out. They're out of the crazy closet, and they're in the front yard, and we have to call them something, and we can't call them our fucking voters.
And we have to keep doubling down, because if we don't keep doubling down, they'll lose interest. And you know, the Tea Party rally that was held, we're recording part of this on Thursday, it was held today, 300 people.
Yeah, and it's all over the news.
Poll numbers are way down, and...
Well, how many hundreds of thousands are at every state capital in every red state in America tonight?
Exactly, tonight,
And, you know, that's not news, because it goes against our narrative.
By the way, Driftglass, this is for off the air, but I know you're not coming down this weekend, but Mark Kirk is holding a town hall meeting in Springfield on Saturday.
Oh, thank you, Blue Gal. Thank you so much.
I wish I could go. It's during swim lesson, but...
Well, maybe you'll run into him on the street.
Yeah. Hey, Mark Kirk.
You know
how's that uterus stuff working out for you?
You know,
are you willing to say the word uterus? I should have a flip cam with me. I just want to know if you'll say the word uterus for me.
I want to see you and three kids around him on a flip cam going, shame, 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 shame.
And I want to show him. You see these three kids that just came out of swim lessons? They all came from my uterus.
Shut up!
They did! They were all in my uterus for the full time.
Stop saying that word. It's great. It's painful for us to hear that word.
No, and I'm telling you, it was a very healthy uterus that brought them into the world.
Huh?
Don't you like healthy uteruses that bring out such beautiful children?
Shut up! Shut up!
They grew inside my healthy uterus. Oh!
Oh, that is fucking kryptonite, isn't it? That's,
I want you to meet the three healthy, wonderful...
We found the other
Illinois ones, citizens who grew inside my uterus.
Mm-hmm. Future liberal voters who grew inside my uterus.
And then prompt my youngest to say, I'm a blogger, fight the power.
Damn you.
Damn you, Blue Gal's uterus. Damn you.
We're adding ever more words to the list that you can't say on TV. You can't say Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You can't say liar.
And be clear about that, Driftglass. One thing, if you hear them say it again, if the next time a liberal goes on Fox and says Rupert Murdoch,
that's the safe word.
There is a line that everyone on Fox has been given to say, and it is, quote, "I'm gonna have to stop you there,"
right?
And you will hear it. It is as clear and as often and as frequent and as knee jerk as some people say.
Mm-hmm.
Fox. So watch the next time that happens. They just reflexively say, I'm going to have to stop you there and end the interview. And that's, Chuck Schumer gets shit from the media for saying extreme, for telling his colleagues to use the word extreme and talking to the media about these plans to cut Meals on Wheels to seniors and cancer research. And he gets shit for, you know, getting other people on message about how extreme this is. And he doesn't apologize. But Fox News is allowed to say, every time anybody mentions the one person that owns and runs that network, like Pravda, I'm going to have to stop you there and end the interview. That's what they do every single time. Next time, watch. You'll hear it.
Well, and I will give extra liberal blogger points to any media person. Mm-hmm. Matt Taibbi, Andrew Sullivan, mm-hmm. David Brooks, any media person who will come to Netroots Nation mm-hmm. and sit with us. Mm-hmm. And even off the record, you can even be an anonymous source. Mm-hmm. Explain to us, explain to me, exactly how the conversation goes when someone in authority decides to put Paul Wolfowitz either on the air or exactly how the command and control structure works at Fox and the names of the people. Who are these people who control our media? And, you know, Outfoxed has a really good is a really good documentary, explains a little bit of how that works. But there's so, you know, you can so clearly see the hardware and the firmware that run machines sometimes. It pokes right up against the skin. You can actually see, you know, it's almost like a game of well, I'm gonna confess a terrible sin now, Blue Gal.
Yeah.
If you don't mind. Once upon a time, my brother and I watched so many episodes or reruns of Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
That we could fucking predict which episode was going to be rerun the next day.
Oh my God.
And we were usually right. That's how many goddamn episodes of Gilligan's Island we had watched, and we picked up almost subconsciously whatever the rhythm was they were using, whatever the cadence of the reruns were. And we were usually right. And on about a Wednesday or a Thursday, you know, I start getting this little twitch that I wonder which network John McCain's going to be on, because he's going to be on one of them. And he's going to be on with Joe Lieberman. And I wonder which douchebag Republican is going to be on. And I wonder which one person out of the 15 people who are going to be running across your TV screens they're going to have on to represent liberal viewpoints. Is it going to be E.J. Dionne, or is it going to be maybe E.J. Dionne with a mustache?
Yeah.
And it's so clear there's a script, and it's so clear it's kabuki theater, that at some point I want to know who the theater owners are. I want to know who the angels and backers are of this production, because they're the ones who are fucking the media up. They're the ones who are keeping a really vital, robust, interesting, contentious, democratic conversation from happening on the public airwaves. They have their foot on the throat of, you know, the vital source of democracy, which is honest conversation. And part of our little job on this blog is to attack that giant foot with an itty bitty rubber hammer.
Yeah.
And, you know, do our part to try to fix the media, because it's broken, guys.
Yep. Request, I wanted to just say in closing that we had a loss at Casa Bluegal. You were here, and I was so mm-hmm. glad you were here. Jessica Awesome, the internet gerbil, passed away this week, and we just are very sad about that. Her body swelled up, and her breathing got really heavy, and mm-hmm. called the vet, and the vet said it was dire and time to say goodbye. So we took her to the vet and came home alone, so it was very sad.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the internet kitties are sad about it, too, because they were really looking forward to being under the same roof with her.
As they were. They spent a little time.
They did. Actually, that's true. Jessica Awesome spent time in the castle bathtub mm-hmm. during some school vacations when the kids were gone. So
and you've never
she
seen
had been in the castle.
Tails whip back and forth so enthusiastically.
I whip my tail back and forth. I whip my tail back and forth.
Oh, you brought us snackies. We love snacks. Corn-fed snacks from downstate. Excellent.
Yeah, we
miss Jessica Awesome, and the kids took it very well. They have a very healthy attitude toward that sort of thing.
There were a few tears.
Oh, yeah.
And then the youngest said, she'll always be alive in our hearts.
Yeah.
So that's the right attitude to have.
Which is real sweet, which is very sweet.
Yeah. We want to thank our listeners. You guys are great, and we thank you for your votes, and we thank you for your support. Mm-hmm. We have an email address. It is proleftpodcast@gmail.com. You can write us anytime. We love hearing from our listeners. There's a website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, where you can listen to past episodes for free with no download and no registration. We are also on iTunes. My dream is that someday we'll be a new and recommended, which we can't be anymore because we have 67 episodes. We
can't be new anymore.
We're the best.
But we'll be on the front page of iTunes. That's my dream for this podcast. Next, well, the next goal, which is
that's a pretty good dream.
It can happen.
Yeah.
It can happen.
Well, and to share with our listeners, Bluegal's other boot in my ass is, dude, when are you going to put together a friggin' book?
Yeah.
Or two or three or four. Because I have ample material. And honestly, between you and me and our listeners, just a secret among us, mm-hmm. I don't believe in the capacity of the publishing system industry. I simply know enough about people who have walked away from the publishing industry because they just threw up their hands and said, it's dead.
I don't care.
I know.
I want to hold your book in my hand, so I'm going to make that happen. So there.
One of the 2,500 reasons why I love you, babe.
So, yeah, we love our iTunes listeners. If you're on iTunes, we appreciate your rating and recommending our podcast. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. We do.
And finally, at our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, there is an opportunity for you to put a rosy face on the economy by telling yourself that, yes, you can, and put $5 in the hat.
Si se puede.
You can put $5 in the hat and help us pay for our time and the work that we do and the modest podcasting costs that we have. Help mm-hmm. us support that work. We really appreciate your vote of confidence in that regard. We are working now. I actually met with a banker this morning to figure out how we can receive checks as well. And we'll be working on getting a P.O. box and so forth. That's going to happen this year. We will have a P.O. box where you can send letters and support us by mail and so forth. So we're working on that, just so you know. Do the Internet kiddies have anything else to say tonight?
Well, they're pissed. I know, having heard Eric Cantor, they didn't know they could rule by decree.
Let's think about living. Let's think about loving. Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-dovey. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
This podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2011, Driftglass Bluegal Podcast. What are you doing tomorrow night?
Talking to you.
Okay.
On the phone, babe.
All right. Well, then that takes care of that. I look forward to driving up to Chicago during spring break without a gerbil in the backseat of the car. So...